This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The Beatles have come to the Henry Ford Museum. The Dearborn Landmark has just opened its doors to the Magical History Tour, a 10,000-square-foot exhibit telling the complete story of the Beatles from their boyhood days in Liverpool to their solo careers and lives after the band broke up in 1970. The exhibit was assembled by Exhibits Development Group of Minnesota. Will Peterson of EDG is with us now. Henry Ford Museum is the first U.S. museum to host Magical History Tour. How come Michigan got first crack?
You know, we get that question a lot, and what we like to say is we didn't choose Michigan. Michigan chose us. So we have a number of exhibitions on tour at the moment, and we market them to museums or other venues that we think would be interested in hosting them. And it really comes down to tour schedules for the exhibitions and availability of space for the different museums and different venues. You know, it's sort of a matchmaking process, and we're just thrilled that we were able to make a match with the Henry Ford.
Now, the exhibition is constructed in four sections. Can you tell us a little about those divisions as you kind of take us through the career arc of the Beatles?
Absolutely. We would call them galleries in the exhibition world. The first gallery starts with the beginnings and the influences and really looks at the four members of the Beatles before they were the Beatles. So you get to look at John, Paul, George, and Ringo when they were young men growing up in England and you know, who they're listening to. You know, they're listening to Elvis and Buddy Holly, and they were getting inspired by both American and European music, and really just shows kind of what they're interested in. You know, they were artists, they were musicians, and you learn a little bit about them. You know, you learn about their families, how their mothers helped them, encouraged them to become artists and musicians, and, you know, just the beginnings of these four gentlemen before they became the Beatles. From there, you travel on the road with the band. We've got some amazing photographs taken by a man named Kurt Gunther of life on the 1964 tour of the Americas. These are photos that have never before been on public display, so we're really fortunate to have those in the exhibit. You know, most photos and most experiences you'll see with the Beatles are looking toward the Beatles, looking at the Beatles, the view of from the seats, so to speak. And the wonderful thing about these photos and this experience is you get the Beatles' perspective. So you're getting photographs looking out the windows of the limo with, you know, crowded streets and fans pounding on the hood. And you see shots from behind the backs of the guys while they're on stage performing. So you really get a sense of what it was like to be a Beatle in this insane pandemonium that was Beatlemania. And in fact, it got so crazy that the Beatles had to stop touring, which is something I didn't know before working on this project. But the Beatles stopped touring, and that leads us to the third gallery, which we call In the Studio.
Yes, because that really was a huge line where they realized between the screaming, nobody could hear what they were doing, but they were also getting so creative in the studio, they really wasn't something that could be recreated on that. When you think about the three guitars and the little drum kit that they were using in their touring days.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, they got to the point where they couldn't even hear themselves playing their songs because of the screaming fans. So at that point, I think they needed to make a switch. And we're happy they did. I mean, they ended up working in the studio with the legendary George Martin, who has sadly passed away just a couple months ago. But they were, as you say, incredibly innovative and imaginative and inventive. And they used stuff like, you know, rooster crows and crowd noise and different mixing and recording techniques to come up with, you know, what is easily some of the most innovative music that's ever been produced.
In a sense, they were using the recording studio as an instrument.
Yeah, they certainly were. And the exhibit has some of the original recording equipment, the original device that George R. Martin used to hear the Beatles for the very first time and basically discover them and help them produce this amazing music. It's a really wonderful, and it's also incredibly interactive part of the exhibition. You get to toy with some of the techniques and, you know, fast forward and play them in reverse and play random snippets of recorded tape, which are all techniques that the Beatles and George Martin used.
And then came 1970 and the breakup.
The final part of the gallery is all about that. For many teenage girls back then, life was over when the Beatles broke up. But as we know, life wasn't really over, and each of the four Beatles went on to have amazing careers and lives after the Beatles broke up. You know, they went on to star in films, and of course they continued to create wonderful music. They wrote poetry. They created works of art. They started families. The last and final gallery really touches on the lives of the Beatles after the Beatles. It's a nice bit of closure to realize that though the band as an entity ended, the spirit and the life and certainly the influence of the Beatles did not come to an end.
Will, give us a couple of the artifacts that are really going to blow people away, things that really you were thrilled to be able to get to put into the exhibit and that really no one's seen. You mentioned those photographs, but you have artifacts as well.
Since we're speaking about the last gallery, one of the probably most emotional artifacts is the Double Fantasy album that John Lennon signed for Mark David Chapman just hours before Chapman eventually assassinated John Lennon. So it's got the police evidence log number written on it. It's got Chapman's fingerprints on it, Lennon's fingerprints. So it's significant in more ways than one. What it really did was signify the end of any possibility of the Beatles getting back together, when John Lennon was killed. It's a piece where everybody stops and looks at it. It's sort of set apart from the other artifacts. We've had real Beatlemaniacs in the exhibit who have become emotional when they see this piece. And you don't have to be a true Beatlemaniac to appreciate the significance, but it's definitely a moving bit of Beatles history.
Will, I get why those of us, and I'm one of them, who were screaming for the Beatles in 1964 want to see this, but why is it you think the Beatles matter so much to fans who weren't us, who were not baby boomers and who are kind of, looking back, not having lived through Beatlemania, but drawn to their music and who they were?
That's a great question, and it's one that has sort of driven the production of this project and the creation of this exhibit. We've seen everybody from octogenarians to 8-year-old kids coming through this exhibit, and they all have the same look on their face, which is just, they're in awe of what the Beatles have done. I mean, the 8-year-olds maybe don't quite appreciate it, but they have fun. The Beatles music was poppy and it was catchy and it was, easy to listen to, easy to sing along with. Anybody who appreciates music is going to appreciate what the Beatles have done. Beyond that, they've influenced countless artists and musicians and fashionistas and will continue to do so. I mean, I'm sure there are Beatles fans out there who haven't even been born yet.
The Magical History Tour, a Beatles memorabilia exhibition, is going to be at the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn from now through September 18th. You can get details at thehenryford.org. Will Peterson of EDG put this together. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Will.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us, Cynthia.